It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, Iowa, I'm sure you know, is a wind energy leader. But one of the big challenges of producing wind energy is getting it to where it's needed, urban centers. That's done via our nation's power grids. Iowa State engineers recently contributed to a study of the economic value of significantly expanding the connections between the country's eastern and western power grids. Here to explain to us a little bit about what that means, Jim McCallie, London Professor of Power System Engineering and Professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Iowa State University. Professor McCallie, Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ben. It's nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, we have about 10 minutes, so you can judge for yourself how far we can get into the weeds here. Start by describing the basics of our national power grid. I understand there's an eastern and western power grid.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, there's three, the two that you mentioned, and one in Texas. We're a little bit focused right now on the two you mentioned, the one in the west and the one in the east. And you can think about the boundary between the two as being a line drawn from the northern border of our country to the southern border, about along the lines of the western boundary of Nebraska, mm-hmm. between Nebraska and Wyoming. So that's a pretty good approximation regarding the boundary between these two synchronized interconnections. And the main maybe idea here to get having the perspective of these two interconnections is that they're not really very heavily interconnected at all. So there's not very much movement of electric energy from the east to the west or the west to the east, because there's just not much transmission capability between the two.
If we could think of it, we could call them between these big networks, they're bottlenecks to transfer between the two.
Right. There's just not much there.
And, mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's you can think there is a little bit, but you can think of it as like a sliver of a thread, relatively speaking. So not too much. And it becomes really important to understand this when you think about moving to a very high renewable electric energy production level. Right now, we're at about 17% of all of our electric energy comes from one of the big three renewables. And you know what they are. You mentioned one of them is wind.
Solar.
And then the third one that we always include in there is hydro.
Right.
But we've built most of the big hydro already. And so you're not going to see a lot more growth in the hydro sector, but it is a renewable, and we include it in that 17%.
Okay. So tell us quickly, what did this goal, what this study look at? What did you determine how we should reshape, expand the connections between our country's power grids?
Yeah, the word expansion is appropriate, and so clearly there's transmission already on both sides of the interconnection, and so the study that was funded by the U.S. Department of Energy and led by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, with Iowa State playing a key role here, wanted to identify the value of increasing the transmission capacity between these two interconnections, east and west.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why there might be value there if you think about going from 17% renewables to something on the order of 50%. So this is a huge leap. But if you want to do that for whatever reason, then it becomes important to build this transmission capacity, because of the fact that most of the good wind resources are on the eastern side of that boundary. And most of the really, really good solar resources are on the western side of that boundary.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about getting where the energy is produced by solar or by wind, by here in Iowa, getting to that to urban centers, places that can consume it.
That's right.
More quickly.
Maybe I'll add one more word to your good description, and that is it's all about economically moving, bringing that wind, that renewable energy to the urban centers, because you can build wind and solar wherever you want to build it. But of course, if the average wind speed in, for example, Georgia is going to be something, two-thirds of what it is in Iowa, then you're going to build the same wind turbine, spend the same money, but get a lot less renewable energy for your dollar.
Mm-hmm. So I understand you and your research group there at ISU contributed to this study by building computer models to simulate 15 years of grid improvements and operations. So what did your computer model reveal?
So given the goal of reaching 50% by energy renewables by 2038, that was a magic year that we chose. Given that goal's in place, then what's the best way to do it economically? And what we found was that increasing the transmission capacity between eastern and western interconnections by a lot, for example, one unit, or we say gigawatts, 1 gigawatt, to something on the order of 25 gigawatts, so a multiplication by 25, increasing the transmission capacity between those two interconnections would save on the order, give you a benefit to cost ratio of on the order of 2.5 to 1. So what that means is for every dollar you spend on increasing the transmission capacity, you're going to ultimately get $2.50 in savings back.
Over what period of time?
That was that 15 years. Time, 2024 to 2038.
Okay, and, so to do this in an optimal way, what your study revealed, what would be the cost of expanding these connections so that we could encourage renewables?
So the cost of the transmission design only, which included two things essentially, one to bridge those two interconnections and the other to enhance the AC transmission within each interconnection, was on the order of $80 billion. So it's a fairly large number, but not so large in the context of the overall energy production over those over that time period. And so for an $80 billion expenditure, you essentially save $250 billion over that 15-year period of time.
Mm-hmm. Has your study caught the ears of people in power, politicians who say this is a good idea, or is this something that academics are going to talk about and it's not going to happen?
Yeah, so it has a lot of attention in the industry. There's a number of organizations throughout the country that have been interested in it. We had a symposium at Iowa State a year ago with about 150 people attending from all over the country. But you're right. It's a technical issue, and we know how to solve that issue. The other part of it is a sociopolitical issue, and there's a lot, clearly a lot of work to be done for the very reason that it's sometimes hard for people to look too much beyond their local region and see the overall national good that this could implement.
Jim, are other countries doing this better? I mean, a few other countries have the vast expanse to get this energy transferred across. Europe, for instance, Western Europe, a much smaller place. But do we have a model we can look to, or does that not really apply here?
There's a couple. Europe is definitely has this on the drawing board, and there's a lot of effort going into studying, identifying cost, value, et cetera, like we are. Particularly around the North Sea, because the North Sea has a lot of relatively inexpensive wind energy to build there. But the country that is probably far ahead of anyone on these transmission build-outs is China, for sure. So they've built a lot of this kind of long-distance, high-capacity interregional transmission to do for the exact same reason that we're interested in it, because typically the renewables are not where the people live, and so you have to move it in order to take advantage of that resource.
Mm-hmm. When we look at where we are right now, we have about a minute and a half left, Jim, just so you're aware of the time.
Sure.
When you look at where we are in this nation now in terms of transmitting energy and where our renewables are, how important is this challenge of improving the grid to the overall development of renewable energy? Could it be stunted by not doing this, for instance?
Well, you know, you certainly could continue to do it. What's the important metric here is how much it's going to cost you. So, I'm very confident in making the statement that this would be sort of the single most influential action that we could take in order to bring down the overall cost of reaching a high renewable penetration level in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think we have the political climate and appetite to enact some of this at the present?
So there's certainly interest from the industry. The question is, you know, do we will need state and federal government to support it as well. And my thought is that there is a great deal of interest on both sides of the aisle from the point of view of infrastructure development. So it would fit in very nicely there. And my hope is that people will see that as we move ahead forward.
Mm-hmm. What's the next step, the next bit of research for you and your group?
So there's what we've done so far is mainly focused on the economic valuation. And so there's still some technical problems that we're dealing with. One of the most important is the increase or enhancement of the reliability of the grid that comes about as a result of this kind of transmission build out. So we're working heavily on that as I speak.
Okay, very good. Jim McCallie, London Professor of Power System Engineering and Professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Iowa State University in our AIM studio. Thanks for coming in. That's a pretty heady topic. Thanks for making it accessible to us, Jim.
My pleasure, Ben.
River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Emily Woodbury. Help today also from Stephanie Nobriga. Des Moines, we had help from John Pemble and Ames, I think. Help from Sean McClain, perhaps Jason Burns as well. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We always welcome your comments and questions to this program. Contact us anytime, river2river@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.